and she has a month left to claim the jackpot. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. It's so great to have you along on the broadcast today. Today we're going to talk about a couple of political things, and we're going to do so around a ministry that has been involved in doing, basically, I think, I would put it in the category of apologetic ministries for young people in Colorado. And so they've come out with a brand new curriculum that I want to talk about that deals with training people about being involved politically. And before we get to that discussion, I want to do a little bit broader discussion on just what this ministry is all about and, you know, what's at the basis of what they're working on. The ministry that I'm referring to is Summit Ministries. You may have heard that name before. I think you may have heard it possibly through Focus on the Family. I think they were initially involved there with Summit Ministries, but you may have heard just recently the folks from Summit were part of Tony Beam, who is the host of Christian Worldview Today in the morning right here on Christian Talk 660, and the folks there from North Greenville University, Alex McFarland, and so forth as well. The conference that they put on just recently, Truth for a New Generation, the folks from Summit Ministry were speaking at that conference, and so you may know the name from there as well. A couple of the folks that I know were participating there were John Stone Street was there from Summit Ministries. I saw him speak at one of the plenary sessions. And then Gary Miller here in the studio was telling me about another presentation that was given by Dr. Jeff Meyer. Myers, and so he was telling me how much he appreciated that presentation as well. And so we went out, found out a little bit of information about Summit Ministries and said, hey, we need to get these folks on the radio broadcast today in order to talk about what they're doing and even more specifically about a brand new course that they're offering, a brand new DVD course that teaches Christians how to think clearly about and how to engage in politics. Now, I know that that might be anathema for some of the people in our listening audience. There's been this drift away from evangelicals and even those, some in the Reformed community, about being involved in politics. But that's wrongheaded, and I don't think that that's the way we should view these things at all, and I don't think our special guest today will view it that way either. Our special guest today is Dr. Jeff Myers. He's the president of Summit Ministries. And Dr. Myers, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be with you and fun to talk about politics at this time of the year, although I think in about a week we'll all be glad that we can get a break for a few days.
Yeah, I saw a couple of things along that line. One, we just played the Fox News at the top of the hour, and I heard some folks at a Romney Ryan rally chanting five more days. So I know we're 5 days away, five more days, and we're going to be voting here and voting for a very important election. And then another item that I heard along that line is I heard an interview this morning. They had a young child on there. I don't know how old the girl was, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and she was crying because she was waiting for the Romney, Ryan, and Obama, Biden election to be over. She was tired of hearing about it, so I don't know where they got that from. But anyway,
yeah, I don't know that. That could have been either of us crying.
I guess so. So I thought, well, we could start, Jeff, if it's okay with you, is I would like to give you the opportunity to familiarize our listening audience with Summit Ministries and what type of work you guys are doing there in Colorado.
Yeah, well, Kevin, the studies on life purpose in young adults today show that we have the most aimless generation we've ever had in America. This generation, statistics are, first of all, 4 out of 5 young adults ages 12 to 22 have no sense of purpose in life and that they know where they're going and why they would go there. In fact, 25% of young adults today are at serious risk of not achieving productive adulthood. Now think about that for a moment. I was speaking in Spokane, Washington to a banquet, and the sheriff of the county was one of the people present. And I said, "Sheriff, you know, I bet you would affirm this," and he certainly did, that if 1% of the people in a community decide to not follow the law, you have absolute chaos. What if you have 25% of the young adults who don't know how to work, they don't know their parents, they're resentful, they're self-focused, they're narcissistic, you know, whatever other pathologies come along with living in a very disruptive kind of society? What happens? Nobody really knows the answer to that question. As a country, we're embarking on a social experiment that has never been tried before. So this is a critical time of history for us to turn our attention to what it takes to prepare godly, young, courageous leaders for the future of our nation. And there are a couple of different ways you might go about doing that. One is you could train them in leadership skills, right? You could give them a workshop on time management, for example. But if somebody's got bad character, we don't really want them to be better at managing their time, do we?
Exactly. I mean,
if somebody's a drug dealer, you don't want to teach them a time management workshop. They'll just become a significantly more effective drug dealer. And so you don't want to teach somebody public speaking skills if they have an evil intent. You see, we've got to start somewhere else other than with the specific skills. So Summit Ministries, 50 years ago, started by Dr. David Noble, whose book, Understanding the Times, you probably know of.
Yes.
It is the number one best-selling worldview text of all time. In fact, with 500,000 copies in print, it may be the best-selling textbook of all time. That the approach that David Noble took and that we carry on at Summit Ministries today is this. If you want to help a young person grasp a biblical worldview and live with purpose, you don't start with how to have a daily devotional. You don't start with how to share your faith and things like that. You start way, way back to help them understand the world of ideas. And it goes back to 1 Chronicles 12:32, Kevin, with that passage where all of the troops' strength is being listed, the people who will enable David to become king. Among the tribes, you find this little tribe of Issachar. All the other troops, tribes are listed by their troop strength. The tribe of Issachar doesn't even mention the troops. It just mentions the leaders. It says 200 leaders and their brethren at their command who understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do.
Amen.
If you understand the times, Kevin, you don't need all of that troop strength. You'll be chosen to be a leader. And so we've been proceeding on this premise through a 12-day program that has become legendary among especially Christian leaders. They're sending, you know, so they send their kids to this. Like Josh McDowell will tell you, yes, I raised my children as best I knew how, but when it came to helping them learn to defend their faith, and this is from Josh McDowell, you know, one of the top Christian apologists of all time, he said, I sent my kids to the summit. So you'll find that there are people who trusted David Noble and still trust Summit Ministries today. I have the privilege to be president of the ministry now to do this. And what we've found in that 12-day program, Kevin, is that young adults before and after, we've studied this. In fact, we just studied 1,591 of the 8,000 graduates we have contact information for, which is a pretty large sample. And we found that there was a statistically significant increase before after Summit as opposed to before in their level of Christian commitment, their feelings of closeness to God, their devotional life, their prayer life, their understanding of a Christian worldview, their understanding of other worldviews, their confidence in the Christian faith, their ability and willingness to defend the Christian faith, and their general preparation for higher education.
Wow.
I look at that list and I think, I ask parents, who wants this for their child? Every hand goes up. We all want that. But you see, you don't start by saying, okay, here's how to have a daily devotional. You start by helping a young person fall in love with God's Word.
Mm.
You don't start by saying, here's how to pray. Here's the structure of a prayer. You start by talking to the young person about how we know that God actually exists. You see, when we start with those things, we're helping students frame out a biblical worldview, not just a way of being more attentive when they go to church on Sunday, but quite literally a way of looking at economics and politics and science and all these other areas with the framework in mind of God is a creator. He made the universe, and we are made in His image, and His Word is not just a devotional book for us. It's actually describing who God actually is. It's telling the truth about who God is, what the world is like, what human beings are like. It describes the contours of the world as it actually exists.
Mm-hmm.
So we do this, Kevin, believe this or not, we do this with 16 to 21-year-old young people. They grasp it, they understand it, and they are moving out, becoming courageous young people on their college campuses. They're moving into positions of leadership. We actually have people who are members of Congress now and state legislators and people who are in business and leading in science and in medicine and all these different areas. So it is really exciting. Anybody who's listening right now who thinks, I don't know if there's actually hope for America, I want you to know there is hope if we will be faithful in preparing the rising generation.
Hmm. Let me ask you a couple questions about a couple of the things that you mentioned. One, you talked about the Understanding the Times book. Is that also a Christian school curriculum now as well, or is that are Christian schools just taking the book and using it as a curriculum?
No, that's a great question. Christian day schools do use Understanding the Times as a curriculum. They use the text as the text for the course, but then they also look at videos and have assignments coming from the two-week summit program. In fact, this is exciting, and we've not made a public announcement about this yet, so I guess this is it.
Well, right here on Knowing the Truth, here we go.
We have received a substantial investment from a foundation to rework the Understanding the Times curriculum, to bring it up to date, and to release it on a digital platform. So it'll be like an iBook. You'll look at it maybe on an iPad or a similar device. It works on about 10 different devices we've tested so far. You would scan through it just with using your fingertips, but it would be like an iBook in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at video clips. If you don't understand one of the terms, you push that word and the definition pops up. You don't understand a name, you've not heard of that name before, you click on it, and a biography pops up of that person. So it'll be four iBook-type books on a digital platform. And this can be used in Christian schools, of course, but it will also be a whole new way of looking at a Christian worldview. Anybody will be able to get this. And the questions their friends ask, they can quickly do searches, come up with answers to those questions. It'll be a digital resource, a friend to all Christians in helping them understand the times and defend their faith.
Wow, praise the Lord. When do you anticipate that project being available?
Well, we're still building out the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually the lead writer for it, so I'll start writing in about 2 weeks. But we've got 47 researchers and a staff of five people who have all kinds of expertise in Java programming to video to graphic design to project management that we've put together to get ready for this. So here in about 2 weeks, we will begin the process. Should be ready August. The first part of it should be ready, God willing, August of 2013.
Well, praise
we'll let everybody know. Anybody who's connected with Summit, if you come to our website, which is summit.org, summit.org, you can sign up for emails, and we'll tell you every once in a while. We've got these products. But most of the emails are, here's something that's probably being talked about around the water cooler at your workplace, and here are some ways you can approach that from a biblical worldview. But anyway, if you're signed up for that, then you will be one of the first to know when that's available. And it is very exciting. This was there are 500,000 copies of that book in print. We think that being on a digital platform, you're no longer bound by shipping rates or international boundaries all over the world.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. Let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with Dr. Jeff Myers. He's the president of Summit Ministries. We just gave the website there just a moment ago, but I'll give it again just so you can go out there and check out all the resources that they have. A lot of information out there. We won't be able to cover all that information today during the broadcast, so you're going to want to keep this very simple website URL in your mind. It's www.summit.org. That's www.summit.org. They've got their conferences listed out there, information about their institutes, their curriculum, resources, blogs. There's a store out there. We've been talking about this book, Understanding the Times. If you go to the store section there, you'll see that book listed in that list of resources and items available in their store. It is their 50th anniversary right now, and I noticed right on the homepage they actually have a special Vimeo presentation there. It's about 5 minutes, 6 minutes long, but it talks about the story of David and Alice Noble, who are the story of Understanding the Times that we just referred to a few moments ago. And so it'd be worth your 6 minutes to go out there to look at that video as well. You mentioned a couple of things, Jeff, just a few moments ago, and I want to make sure that people understand. The idea of Summit Ministries, then, are we primarily talking about the 12-day intensive program for students? Is that the main offering of Summit Ministries?
There are two tracks, really. The one track is the in-person programming. That's really important because, as you know, there are two strands to the relational DNA. To the influence DNA, if you want to be an influencer. Relationship and worldview, what you know and how you relate to people. So we want students to come and be with us for 2 weeks because we can mentor them. We have small groups. We bring in the top Christian apologists of our day. People like J.P. Moreland and Alex McFarland and others are on our regular faculty here in these programs. Mm-hmm. So students get to know those individuals, ask all of the questions they've been thinking about asking their whole life but couldn't really find anybody to talk with. They have small groups and so forth. That 12-day program then leads to other in-person programs if students want to go deeper. For instance, we have a place here in Colorado called the Snow Wolf Lodge. Mm-hmm. And we have a semester-long program with Dr. Michael Bauman from Hillsdale College and Dr. J.P. Moreland. And these two guys come in and with the students for an entire semester, they help them really learn thinking skills, how to articulate, how to write well, how to read well. We've had a lot of students come through and say, you know, after having been to the summit for 2 weeks, I realized I'm not really ready to go back to college, or I'm not ready to go to college. I think if I went there, I would just party and waste all my time and my parents' money. I'm not really ready for it. A lot of young people today are honest enough to admit when that's the case, and then they say, you know, maybe if I had a semester in this intensive situation with a lot of really cool people, I could really grow in this. And so we have this beautiful lodge in the mountains of Colorado. Students go there. There's also a program at Oxford University. Students are a little bit advanced. If they've been through college for a couple of years, they've gotten good grades, they've studied hard, they can come study with us in Oxford University at four of the top colleges in Oxford. They work with Oxford dons, and then we have a mentor who works with them every week, personally, one-on-one, and then in small groups, to help them shape that experience from just being an academic experience into being a deeply spiritual experience. So it's a fascinating way for young people who have some academic potential to study in Oxford, get recommendations from Oxford dons, go back to study and get their doctorates at Oxford or at other high-level institutions because of the connections they make there. Mm. So that's all the in-person part. Then there's another track, though, Kevin, and that's the curriculum area. Now, a lot of dads, I know, I'm a dad, I've got four children, I'm always wondering, what am I going to do to be the spiritual leader of my home? Summit Ministries, in conjunction with Apologia Publishers, put together a series of four books, and they're called What We Believe. The first one is, Who is God? The second book is, Who am I? Because that's the first question people ask, right? Once they understand who God is, well, then who am I? What did he make me to be? Who is my neighbor is the third one, and then what on earth am I to do? These are simple, they're little hardcover books. They're so simple. I just pick them up, open them up, and read them to my children, okay? Mm-hmm. Any idiot can read for 15 minutes to his kid. I know. I do it, okay? So that's another way. Those curriculum materials that are available for high school, middle school, grade school, but even those home situations where you think, I want my kids to have a biblical worldview, but they're only six and they can't go to Summit till they're 16. How am I going to do that? Well, that little book series, and you find information about that at summit.org, will take care of it. So the in-person programs and then the training resources, which I guess probably brings us around to the resource that deals with politics here.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in just a second. The class size, then, is it a limited class size? They sound like small classroom settings. So are there multiple classes going on at the same time? Or how would people, somebody listening then today says, you know, this is perfect. I've been looking for something like this for my son or my daughter to attend. I'm concerned, though, you know, if I don't sign up right away, is the class going to be taken and they won't have an opportunity? What would you say to them?
Well, that is a valid concern. All of our programs do fill up. So you want to come to summit.org, start looking at the dates, praying about which ones would be best. There's a two-week program in Tennessee that's within driving distance of Greenville. And then there's a program in Colorado. There are a lot of options in Colorado. We have 7 different two-week sessions all throughout the summer. So the dates are more flexible, but it's an airplane ticket. Mm-hmm. But it is Colorado.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, those are the options. The programs each will host about 180 students. And then those students are broken down. We have a very high-level group of a counselor core. These are college students who have been through the program before, and they're highly trained to work with young people. They break down into groups of 4 or 5. So they'll have a small group of 4 or 5 people, and then they will have the larger group of 180 students. But those programs all do fill up. So you don't want to wait until May if you want to choose the two-week program that would be best for you.
Mm.
Yeah, you really want to make the decision, maybe even this fall, but certainly by February at the latest.
Okay, and let me remind our listening audience, I'll give you this website again throughout the program, but if you just heard that portion of it about signing up for the institute and for the training, or signing up your child for that, you can go out and look at summit.org. That's www.summit.org. I want to get to the political part, but I think we'll save that for after the break. Just before the break, I just wanted to ask you one final question on this segment, and that is the level of discipleship that you've been talking about, this intense worldview training. Do you envision Summit is providing this, but is that because this is something that ultimately should really be provided by the church, and you even went further back than that to the other institution of God, by the home? And would you, and I imagine you're providing material, as you were just talking, for both the home and the church to be able to do that responsibility?
I do think the home and the church should be taking more responsibility, just as a general rule across the country. But we don't think, I know I've heard people say, hey, if the church did what it was supposed to do, then we would be able to shut our doors. We really don't see it that way at Summit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a principle from Proverbs, that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors.
Mm-hmm.
We really do believe that God has called us to come alongside parents, come alongside churches, and help them in that mission of preparing the rising generation. You know how I know how I was when I was a kid. I won't speak for you. I won't speak for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed other people who also say so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents, yes. My pastor, yes. That's fine. But if you've got somebody who's gone through college and gotten a PhD and says the same thing that my pastor says, that's important. I need to know that. And if there are other college students who say, yeah, I'm at this university and I'm challenged for my faith all the time, but I am learning to live for Christ and it's very exciting, that's important. I need to know that. I need to be around those people. So we really do see the Summit program as being an essential complement. In fact, we tell parents, you send these kids to us, they're going to come home, they're going to say, Mom, you're never going to believe what we learned. And then they're going to tell you exactly what you've been telling them all along. But they needed to hear it from other places. There is that principle of wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So that's the role that we really think that we should play. So I hope churches will do more, and I hope parents will disciple their kids more intensively. But we think if that happens, then the programs that we have out here are going to be even more fun and more exciting because the students will be better equipped when they get here.
Right. Yeah, could actually ask even better questions, I think, more detailed questions. Good point. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we come back from the break, we'll go ahead and let you know some more about the website and about some of the other directions that we're going to go in. Primarily, we want to talk about a brand new offering from Summit Ministries that deals with politics. That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. They just released something called the Political Animal Curriculum, and so we're going to talk about that. It goes along nicely with a recent article in the Wall Street Journal talks about evangelicals not being involved in this election. We'll talk about that more when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
It's almost election day, but will evangelicals head to the polls in great numbers this year? On the next Janet Mefford Show, we'll get some thoughts from Bill Dallas from the group Champion the Vote. And Minnesota is one of four critical states that will vote to preserve marriage next week. John Helmberger, chairman of Minnesota for Marriage, will share some of his thoughts on Amendment 1. That and a lot more, so join us for the very next Janet Mefford Show.
This afternoon from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Where are all the people? This is Ken Ham, speaker and writer on Why We Can Trust the Bible. You know, the number of humans today is a big problem for people who believe in billions of years. Even using conservative estimates, the Earth's population grows quickly. So if humans have been around for millions of years, well, there should be many more of us, tens of billions at least. Now, of course, evolutionists tell us that life was harder in the past, that more humans died. But in recorded history, even with all the disasters and wars, growth has been steady. You see, humans have always multiplied just as God commanded. Now, according to Genesis, the first two humans lived about 6,000 years ago, and then eight people restarted the population 4,300 years ago, after the flood. The population today, it's just what we'd expect.
When we examine history, we find astonishing evidence that the Bible is true, as you'll see on our website, AnswersRadio.com. Point your browser to AnswersRadio.com.
Prayer. Elijah, a man just like us, prayed, and for 3 years it didn't rain. Come join us Monday, November 5th, noon, as we ask God for repentance, revival, and restoration to heal America. Monday, November 5th, noon, downtown Greenville, 130 South Main Street at the Old Courthouse. November 5th, noon. Pray for America.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I want to make sure that you know that you're certainly welcome to participate in the broadcast today. We're speaking with Dr. Jeff Myers from the Summit Ministries. That's www.summit.org, and you can go out there to find out all the information about all of the different items that they offer. As I mentioned, out on the website, there's information about the institute that they have where you can go for a couple of weeks or an entire semester in order to get some really good, intense Christian worldview training. There's some curriculum out on the website there, resources, a blog, a store, a lot of information for you to find out about things related to the Christian worldview and how you can be trained in the Christian worldview. And so I would highly recommend you go out there to their website, www.summit.org. Now, there's a couple of ways for you to participate in the program today. One, you can call the toll-free number. It's good nationwide. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, I have email up and running, and the email is very simply just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Just before the break, I made reference to a Wall Street Journal article this morning where they're talking about the importance of the evangelical vote. Specifically, the person writing the review is talking about the evangelical vote as being Governor Romney's secret voting block. He's saying that the media has basically not considered the idea of just how powerful the evangelical vote is. I certainly agree with that. And I think you would be surprised to find out how many evangelicals actually vote in national elections. Not as many as there should be. Let me put it that way. We'll get into some of those details in just a minute. Well, to help you think about politics from a Christian perspective, Summit Ministries have just launched a brand new DVD course that teaches Christians how to do this, how to think clearly about and how to engage in politics. And so the actual course is referred to as, the title of it is, The Political Animal Curriculum. Jeff, tell us a little bit about this DVD course, and I'm specifically interested in that particular name that you chose for it, The Political Animal. Where'd that come from?
Well, the political animal came from Aristotle. He said human beings are political animals because we are conscious beings living in community. So politics is going to be a part of any group of people. You get together, you've got to make some rules about how we're going to live together. Well, that's politics. Politics means the rule of a city. So I think that part of the reason we put this video course together, Kevin, is that we were looking back over the last several years. People would say, oh, the religious right, you know, they did all these bad things, and then they didn't even make a difference. And we started to look at it and think, no, that's not actually true. Christians getting involved have made a magnificent difference in areas. Pro-life, for example, they've changed the tenor of the entire debate. So there are a lot of different areas, but you know that there were people in the religious right who made extravagant claims. We're at war, and we're going to take over America. And you can imagine somebody who's not a believer listening to that, thinking, oh, I'm not sure I want these people to take over America. They seem kind of angry, and I don't know. That doesn't sound very good to me. So there was a lot of backlash against Christians being involved in politics. And, of course, a lot of Christians being sensitive to that said, well, I'd rather not be involved at all than be perceived as someone who is one of them, one of those bad people out there who wants to take over America. So there was this big battle going on, and I think a lot of Christians were ambivalent. They weren't sure what to do. So we decided to take a very different approach, Kevin. We decided to start with this. Everything belongs to God.
Amen.
So if everything belongs to God, then political decision-making isn't something that is just out there that belongs to the devil. This is actually part of God's territory. So to be involved in making political decisions is actually a part of how God is discipling us to be in the image of his son. So it's a discipleship thing. And somebody said to me, well, you know, you got these two candidates out there, and I don't like either one of them, and so I have to choose the lesser of two evils, and that's just, that's not fair. I shouldn't have to make a decision like that. And my response to that person, I knew the person pretty well, so I could get away with this. I said, well, making hard decisions? I mean, when did you get the impression that being a Christian means you don't have to make hard decisions anymore? Being a Christian means that you now have a strong basis and capacity for making hard decisions, not that you get to avoid them. So it is important, I think. If you look at two candidates, you think, I don't know that, I don't think either one of them is a godly individual. Well, if they're not evil people, then you know, you've got to look at it and say, well, which one would be better in our particular situation? Making decisions between two options that are not preferable is part of life. So and the more we learn to do that, the more discerning we become, the more humble we become, because we realize, well, I don't have all the resources necessary to make that decision. I need to pray. I need to seek wise counsel. I need to look at Scripture. I need to do my reading and research. And we actually sat down with our kids and went over the ballot. Can you imagine that? It was almost an hour-long discussion with our four children.
They're still talking to you.
I mean, should we retain such and such a judge? The kids are like, what does that even mean? I have no idea how to do that. Well, how do we find out? Well, we can ask. We can look around. We can find research. And it turns out there are a few judges we shouldn't have retained and a few that we probably should retain. And there are questions about, should we fund this or that? Should we increase our taxes so that the library gets more money? All these kinds of things turned into, for us, a way for our family to talk about our priorities and what's really important. I thought it was a great discussion. And in fact, the kids went with me to the polling place. I voted last night, and my 9-year-old son was there with me in the voting booth, and we looked over our sample ballot, and we pushed all the buttons, and he read through the things. You know, even little kids can understand, hey, this is really cool. This is great that we get to actually participate in making decisions for our community. We get one vote, but that's important. In our town, our little town's only 4,000 people. You know, well, that one vote really makes a difference here. It may not make so much of a difference. You know, if I lived in Tennessee and for president, I don't think there was any question that Tennesseans probably were going to vote for Romney and Ryan. And so, you know, whether you vote for president there is not so consequential. Here in Colorado, wow, it's a lot closer. Makes a big difference who you vote for.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of things that I thought were really actually exciting. The Christians should be excited about this, not cynical. We should actually look for opportunities to make difficult decisions and then be able to decide and defend that decision to people who are talking with us about it.
Amen. I think the idea of discernment is something that is certainly missing, and Christians thinking in such big categories but not talking about the details underneath those categories. You bring up a good point about this lesser of two evils debate that we often have. I think that that's a false premise built right into it, in that there's never going to be a perfect person to vote for. If there's a man involved, man at their best, they're still men at best. They're always going to be fallen and depraved and weak and frail, and we're always going to be choosing between the lesser of two evils. So that's it's just kind of a false premise even to begin with. You talked about it. It's a part of life that we have to make choices like this, and I think it's actually the design of the forefathers in our political system that we have to understand who these people are, find out what they're for, and then, yes, you do vote for the lesser of two evils, which, of course, as Christians is exactly what we need to do. So I think...
Well, it sounds unholy to do it, and I understand, you know, George Bernard Shaw said, I learned a long time ago never to wrestle with a pig. You get dirty, and the pig likes it. It does seem, oh, wow, politics, it's just so messy and dirty. But you're right, Kevin, if we live in a fallen world, then the politicians running for office are evil. And guess what? So are you. So am I.
That's right.
R.C. Sproul, the theologian, is fond of saying that if you really think about it, we're really a lot more like Adolf Hitler than we are like Jesus Christ.
I just saw that online. They just posted his, a video of him demonstrating that with Dr. Steve Lawson and a couple other people from the audience. But you're absolutely right. We're so far from the holiness of God. We're much closer in this life to the worst possible individual we could think of. But when we're glorified, then he talks about in that presentation, then we will actually be made into the image of Christ completely and conformed to the image of Christ. And then there'll be a big gulf between us and our depravity here in this life. Good point.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to break down that, because it's such a big point that people make. I see people on Facebook every single day saying, I'm not going to vote because it's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, please
do. Let me just break it down.
Please do.
There are three points there. The first one is, we say, choosing between the lesser of two evils. Well, the first one is about choice. A lot of people assume that politics is a one-time choice, and that is a vote. And, of course, voting is the most basic act that a citizen can take. You're a bad American if you're not voting, okay? And I don't care if you – it's not so important to me that you're voting for every single office. But if you're not participating in decision-making, you're a bad person as an American. I mean, you need to do that. That's just the most basic possible thing that you can do. The second thing – so, but it's not just a one-time choice, is it?
No.
When people get into office, they're shaped by the citizens. We want to continue to pray for them. We want to continue to do good for them. We also want to hold them accountable for doing what is right and what is just, going to meetings, sending letters, making calls, visiting them, all of those things. We never throw in the towel. It is not a one-time choice. The second point, Kevin, is we say choosing the lesser of two evils. But to say that both candidates are evil and that one candidate is marginally less so, I think misses the point of discerning good from evil. Mm. The whole world is fallen. Everything is tainted. All of our choices are corrupted.
Yep.
So to say that the sphere of politics is evil, but the sphere that I'm in charge of is not,
mm-hmm.
I think is actually, like, it's idolatry. It's self-worship.
Yeah.
The third thing is just the nature of evil. You know, Paul does say we should avoid evil. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evils of evil desires of youth. But the focus is on the evil that we are tempted to do, not the evil that other people do. So our posture toward general evil is something we need to think through. What does Romans 12:21 say? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word overcome there, we get our word Nike from it. It's the word Nikeo. It means to have superiority over, to be blameless before.
Hmm.
So we're to be proactive in the face of evil so that evil loses its grip on us and even on other people. So I hope that makes sense. I really think if you look at it theologically, you look at it practically, you look at it from the standpoint of discipleship, Christians, we lose our excuses for not getting involved. We need to be the ones making difficult decisions. We should be better at making difficult decisions because we have a biblical basis for doing so, and I think we owe it to our communities.
I wholeheartedly agree. Calvin talked about, we just celebrated Reformation Day yesterday, of course, and Calvin talked about being involved in politics as being one of the highest callings that God has given to us. So far from being silenced the way that Christians are these days about politics, many in the church, not everyone in the church, but being silenced or being marginalized, being told, well, you don't have anything to say about this realm, well, we beg to differ. God's word tells us that he has jurisdiction over everything, and therefore we do have something to say about everything because we go back to the word of God to see what he has said about it, and then we are articulating, studying what God has said about these things, and then articulating them to the world around us. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Dr. Jeff Myers. He's the president of Summit Ministries. Their website, again, is www.summit.org, and we're specifically talking about now a brand new political-related course that they've come out with, a DVD course. It's called The Political Animal, and you can go out to their website in order to find out more. They have a banner out there that you can click on, or if you'd rather, go directly to that page. It's www.summit-courses.org, and then it's under the political courses, and you can find out more there. If you have a question or a comment for our special guest today, you're certainly welcome to participate in the program. You can shoot me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth, all one word, .org. I'll try to work your question or comment into our discussion today. And if you'd rather call, maybe you've near a phone and you're able to call real quick, you're certainly welcome to do that. The phone number here is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That equates to 1-888-660-9535. Jeff, I wanted to just take a few moments to walk people through this video series, a six-part video series. By the way, folks, you can actually preview video one out on their website. So if you'd like to get a look at it before purchasing this, there's your opportunity to do that. But, Jeff, let's just walk through a couple of the things here. We maybe have covered a little bit of this item in video one, but how Christian involvement changes the world and why we are on the brink of losing it all.
Yeah, isn't it exciting to think how Christians in history have had a huge impact on the world? I was thinking about this just last night because we're working on a movie script of something related to this for churches. And hospitals began when Christians started taking care of sick people. Modern science began when Christians tried to figure out more systematic ways to understand their creator. The abolition of slavery was started by Christians who believed, contrary to what most people believed in society and what most people believe yet today, that human beings are made in God's image, and they are therefore, there's no human being who is inferior to another human being, and they should not be enslaved. Higher education, free market economics, even things as simple as sanitation, all of these were given to us by Christians who decided that even when things are really bad, they are obligated to figure out how to make a difference. As Aquinas said, that grace is something that's here with us and now. It has an effect now. The way we live our lives in Christ changes things here, not just for eternity. So this is a critically important point. And if Christians decide that we are not going to be involved any longer, we are forfeiting this magnificent heritage. We're also forfeiting the opportunities that we see presented to us in Scripture. Now, I have had a lot of Christians say, well, look, Jesus didn't vote. Jesus wasn't involved in politics. Well, Jesus lived in a culture that was very different from our own. Now, he didn't live in a democratic republic. He didn't live in a constitutional republic where the opportunity is there for all citizens to vote. But even having said that, Jesus said a number of things that are remarkably political. He talked about the relationship between Caesar and God. He talked about a number of different things. He was involved in the synagogue. And, of course, the synagogue in that day is much more like it was a religious council, of course, where people went to hear religious teaching, but it was also the city council. That's where they made all the difficult decisions. Jesus was there all the time, very involved in his community. And so, anyway, that's a great heritage. I guess that's the point I'm getting to.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it all in the Old Testament through Joseph and Esther and Daniel. You see it in our own history of the last 200 or 300 years with William Wilberforce helping to get slavery abolished, and John Witherspoon, who was a preacher from Scotland, who trained America's founding fathers. All of these people showed that you can have integrity in making decisions politically. You don't have to just submit to the world around you. You can actually have integrity as a Christian and make wise decisions that truly make a difference. So there's a lot at stake.
Yes.
If we decide we're not going to do it, we decide as Christians we're not going to get involved. And by the way, a lot of Christians have decided that. Only about, I understand this, not, it's hard to find statistics on this, but my understanding is only half of the Christians who are eligible to vote are actually registered to vote.
Hmm.
And then, Kevin,
yes,
only half of the registered voters who are Christians actually go vote.
Hmm.
That means 25% of Christians are actually out there making a difference right now.
Hmm.
And so it's ironic, isn't it?
Yes.
People will say, well, Christians can't really make a difference. Well, if only one out of four Christians decides to make a difference, then you're probably right.
Hmm.
Christians aren't going to make much of a difference. But what could we do? How could our involvement change things? Could we actually disciple young people to go to work for these political individuals and help them make wise decisions? Could we train people to actually run for office? Could we run for office ourselves? It's not just about presidents, is it? Or Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, the ballot was yesterday that when I voted, 12 pages long, and there was one little bitty line about president, one little bitty line about Congress, all the rest, local issues. Should we have this new sanitation district? Should we redo these roads? Should we add money to the library fund? Should we add money for parks or whatever else?
Yeah.
All of these are decisions that we have to make that we just need to be making as part of being in a community.
You know, a number of people are talking about it's all coming down to Ohio being very important. Well, in that article that I was referencing out on Wall Street Journal, .com about evangelicals and them needing to participate in this election. It said that in 2008 there were 350,000 evangelicals who didn't vote in Ohio. So 350,000 that register or claim to be evangelicals did not vote. Barack Obama carried the state by 260,000 votes. And so the point was being made there that if that support of 70% or more holds for Mr. Romney right now in Ohio, that the evangelical vote will be critical as to whether or not who carries the Buckeye State. And so we can see just as we continue to break it down like you've been doing, we see when we get down to more of a micro level of these things, literally Christians have the opportunity to vote somebody in at that level or to keep them out of office. And, of course, we're talking about all of their policies that go along with them. Just abortion on this particular one, abortion and the definition of marriage are huge issues along with the economy and many other important issues as well. Jeff, I got time just to ask you about one more of these video, the video series, but one that caught my eye was the one that said that there are four myths that keep Christians ignorant and uninvolved. We may have talked about a couple of those already, but what are those four myths?
Yeah, well, one of the myths that we did talk about is that politics is choosing the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. But here are the others. The first one is that God doesn't care about politics. That's the first myth, that God doesn't care about politics. Now, here's our approach to it. God cares about politics because God cares about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned with his glory. Psalm 57, his glory covers all of the earth. And Washington, D.C. and your state capital are not black holes where God is not concerned for his glory.
Yes.
Adrian Rogers, who's a Baptist pastor from Memphis, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
said it's inconceivable that God would ordain government and then ask his people to stay out of it.
Yeah. Amen.
So God does care about politics. God cares about our communities. And think about this, too. You know, politics isn't just, again, the national issues. There are a lot of local issues, a lot of state issues. I was telling some students the other day, I said, hey, I was driving down the highway, and I got hungry. And so I pulled over to the side and went into a McDonald's restaurant, and I ordered a sandwich, and I ate it. What's extraordinary about that? Well, it wasn't maybe the best food that I could have eaten. It wasn't the healthiest, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I walked right in that restaurant. I had never seen those people in my life. I didn't know anything. I'd never been in that town before. I didn't ask any questions at all about the safety of that food. I just walked right in there, ordered a sandwich, and ate it just like nothing. Well, how could I do that? Because I am trusting that there is a food safety inspector in that community who keeps that restaurant accountable. Well, the food safety inspector is someone who operates through political authority that was set up in a political district established by the citizens of that community. You see that?
Yeah.
Even food safety. The fact that we flush the toilet and expect it to actually go somewhere outside of the house, you know, and be processed. Well, a sanitation district was put together as a political entity voted on by voters. There's not a single thing we do in any day. I mean, you walk into your house and you don't expect it to collapse around you, do you?
Right.
You expect that it will stay up. Why? Because you know that it was inspected by somebody who knew what kinds of buildings stay up, what kinds don't, and how to make sure that that building is safe. We don't expect our houses to burn down today. It's unbelievable and horrifying when it happens, but it's very rare. You know, in the early days of housing, houses burned down all the time.
Mm.
Well, why wouldn't they? Now, because we have electrical inspectors who make sure that the electrical system is put together in a proper fashion so that it's safer. All of these things help people better bear God's image. They're focused on the fact that human beings are made in God's image, we're valuable. All of these things are done because of politics. So, yeah, so God does care. That's one of the myths. So then I also, let's see, where are we? Okay,
I got to just have
God doesn't care about politics. Mention the myth that...
I got to have you just, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got to have you just mention the last two, and because I'm going to just give you the final word here. We only have about a minute left.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Okay.
The third myth is, it's not my problem.
Hmm.
It is. You are part of the community. It's your problem. It's my problem. And then the fourth one is that politics don't matter.
Mm.
So they do matter.
Yes.
People around the world who don't have the opportunities to vote or get involved will tell you, if we had that, we could actually better bear God's image and understand and actually make a difference and be a blessing to our communities. So don't squander that opportunity. You have it. Americans, we have it right now. And the next week is one of the most exciting things. And by the way, with your kids, you want your children to know that you care.
Yes.
You want to demonstrate that they should care when they get involved. This is your opportunity to do it.
Amen. Let me tell our listening audience, we've been speaking with Dr. Jeff Myers, president of Summit Ministries. Their website, again, is www.summit.org. The specific offering that we've been spending most of the time talking about today is their brand new DVD series called The Political Animal. I want you to know this. There is a free facilitator's guide that comes along with this as well that you can download out on their website. Take advantage of that. Go out to that website. Find out more about this. It is vitally important. Jeff, thank you very much for being with us on the program, and thank you for the work you guys are doing out there at Summit.
Thank you, Kevin. Sure appreciate you. Press on.
Okay, my friend. Thank you very much for being on with us. And again, let me give you a website one more time before we close out the broadcast today. www.summit.org. That's www.summit.org. You can find out all the information that we're talking about today. We talked about how important it is to vote. My friends, this is the last broadcast for me before next Tuesday, and so I just encourage you to get involved and vote. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.